This morning's shiur is dedicated by the Boim family, Le'ilui Nishmas David Reuven Ben Alexander Ziskin, and I thank you for your generous sponsorship. It is in commemoration of the 25th Yahrzeit of David Reuven, which falls out on Chaf Dalet Iyar. He was a 17-year-old boy who was killed in a terror attack outside of his high school in Beit El 25 years ago. So we hope that our Divrei Torah today should be an Ilui HaNeshama for him. And we hope that his neshama will have an aliyah from all that we will discuss. I did prepare something else to talk about, but I think at this point, everything else is irrelevant. You know, our lives are made up of such a complex and intricate set of circumstances. We don't really compartmentalize different factions, different experiences of our lives. They all seem to be compounded. But Shlomo HaMelech, the Chacham Mikol Adam, tells us in Sefer Koheles, "Lakol zman ve'eis lekol chefetz tachas hashamayim." There is an appropriate time and place for everything. And he contrasts, and he says, "Eis laledes ve'eis lamus." There's a time to give birth, and there's unfortunately a time of death. Eis latas ve'eis la'akor natua. There are times in our lives when we're supposed to be investing and planting. There are other times when unfortunately we need to uproot. There are times in our lives when eis lifrotz ve'eis livnos. Sometimes we need to demolish and sometimes we need to build up. Eis livkos ve'eis lischok. There are times in our lives when we cry, when we laugh, and when we enjoy and we celebrate. There are times when we eulogize and times when we dance. We all have good and bad in our lives. We all have positive and sometimes, unfortunately, we have negative. We all have ups and we all have downs. And what's complicated about that is not simply that we have different kinds of experiences, but what really complicates it is that sometimes all of that is compounded and it comes all at the same time. If you've ever known a family who is preparing a wedding, and the week of the wedding, by some fate, the week of the wedding, some close family member passes away, and the mother or the father of the chasen or the kala are sitting shiva. I'm sure many of us have seen such a thing and experienced it, and it's so complicated when that happens. What are we supposed to feel when we go to the wedding? Are we supposed to say mazel tov to them? Are we supposed to be menachem avel? How do we handle that? And that's the complexity of life. Anybody who's involved in community service knows very well, and I think about this all the time, every couple that comes to my house and they're very excited because they're about to get married and they want to talk about their wedding and they want to talk about all the plans and whatever it might be they want to discuss. And then inevitably they bring up the question about birth control. And every single couple, I start off the conversation with the same point. And that is that for everyone that comes to my house to talk about birth control at the beginning of marriage, you should understand there's at least one or more that come to talk about the opposite. And they both live in the same community. And there are more than enough people who are suffering with infertility. Understand that having children is a bracha. Understand it doesn't mean that sometimes birth control is inappropriate. It is appropriate sometimes. However, understand when you're asking the question that it needs to be framed in that way. That there are people in our own community, you may not know them, but I do. There are many people in our community who are struggling in the opposite direction. I remember vividly a few years ago, there was somebody who came, if you can please mute yourself, whoever's on our Zoom here. I remember somebody came and asked a question about, they were building a new home and they wanted to know, the contractors were late and things were getting slowed down. They really weren't moving along as progress that they should. Okay, so I remember they came and they asked about continuing on the building during the 9 days, during the 3 weeks. And I thought it was amazing. If you can please stop talking, we can all hear you.
There's a
We can all hear you. So there was a question about building a new home during the 9 days. And it's a question, it's a shaila. I couldn't help but to be uncomfortable with the fact that that very same week there was somebody who came to our home to discuss that their house was in foreclosure. Both these people lived in our neighborhood. And you have conflicting emotions. Shlomo HaMelech says it's supposed to be one or the other. Is it a time to celebrate? Is it a time to feel a sense of mourning? Is this a happy time? Is it up? Is it down? And sometimes we feel that they're both. There's such turmoil, there's such confusion. And there's so much that we need to process. But we see it by everyone. And we see that people have very complicated lives. And communities as a whole are very complex, are very intricate. What we need to remember is that none of this is coincidental. None of this just happens by fate. I think the most offensive comment that I heard since Thursday night was somebody sent out a recording, I don't know who this was, and this person was there in Meiron, and they were talking about what was happening, and one thing they said was, look what Reb Shimon ben Yochai did to us. How could Reb Shimon ben Yochai have done this to us? And I heard that and I shuddered. Did we forget that there's a Ribono Shel Olam in the world? This was not Reb Shimon ben Yochai doing anything to us. This was HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who designed, for whatever reason, for this tragedy to happen. This did not happen because of Reb Shimon ben Yochai. Reb Shimon ben Yochai did not make a decree that it should happen. Reb Shimon ben Yochai has no involvement in this. It happens to be that it was at his kever, which is very tragic. But it's the Ribono Shel Olam who gives all of us the set of circumstances in our lives that we have. And these past few days have really sprung the Jewish people through, I guess, a tsunami, a tornado. I almost feel as if Klal Yisrael is in a communal avelus. Everybody I passed on Shabbos or Sunday, Friday as well, I almost felt like they were sitting Shiva themselves. And this is a tragedy that have touched so many of us in so many different ways. And the layers of this tragedy are incalculable. They're enormous. You just talk to parents who have children in the yeshivas where people were lost. That's one layer of tragedy. Talk to parents who have kids in Israel for the year who were not in that yeshiva. A different layer of tragedy. Talk to parents who actually lost their children. I'm going tomorrow to visit the family in Teaneck who tragically lost their beautiful son. Talk to them. Understand all the different layers of tragedy. How about grandparents? How about aunts and uncles? How about community members who are friendly, who are close? How about classmates who lost touch, who may have had a fight a year ago but now feel guilty? How about the people who feel survivor's guilt that they should have... Okay, I think we're going to have to turn the Zoom off. You just talk to so many different layers of this tragedy and you understand how complicated it is and how many people suffer from it. The Rambam writes in Hilchos Tshuva, Perek Gimel Halacha Yud Aleph, HaParish Midarkei HaTzibur, somebody who isolates or secludes him or herself from the rest of the community. Afal pi shelo avar averos. We're not talking about somebody who separates themselves because they are considered a baal avera. That's one category of people. We're talking about a person who separates themselves, and the Rambam describes lo nichnas bitzarasan. You don't identify, you don't associate with the tzaras hatzibur that's going on. Velo misane bitanisan. Elaholech bedarko keechan migoy haaretz. I go about my life and I move around the world as if I'm just another person. And I don't affiliate, I don't associate with what's going on with my people, writes the Rambam, Ein lo chelek la'olam haba. There's a very short list of people that the Gemara says don't have a chelek in olam haba. You have to do something very serious, very extreme. The Rambam says, this is very extreme. This is an egregious error. Somebody who doesn't understand that when the tzibur is going through a tzara, When so many thousands of people, hundreds of thousands of people all over the world are suffering, and we don't appreciate, we don't understand what it means, and we're eino nichnas bitzarasan, says the Rambam, ein lo chelek la'olam haba. We lose a chelek in olam haba. Do we understand what that means? Now, in this case, I don't think it's so relevant because, yes, we do feel it and we do understand it. And we are apart. But I was reminded of a comment that's shuddering in my mind. In Parshas Ha'azinu, the Torah writes, Hatzur Tamim Pa'alo, in a description of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it says, the Ribono Shel Olam, this is the Tzidduk Hadin that families say when unfortunately they lose their loved one. Hatzur Tamim Pa'alo, Ki Chol Derachad Mishpat, we confess to the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is just and He's honest, and his mishpat is proper. El emunah ve'ein avel tzadik v'yashar hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu does what's right, and we don't question it. We believe that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is impartial, we believe that he's fair, we believe that he's just, and that whatever he does in the world is precise and accurate, even though we don't always understand it, especially in times like this. And the question we ask ourselves is, does the Torah really need to highlight this? We understand that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Dayan HaEmes. We understand that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one who runs our world, who makes all decisions. Somebody goes into a courthouse here, Lahavdil, Elef, Alfei, and a thousand times over, Havdalos. You go into a courthouse here, you have a certain understanding, a certain basic assumption that the judge who you're standing in front of is going to be just and honest and impartial. That's the understanding all of us work with. Do we have a question? That's the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu judges His people? That's the way the Ribono Shel Olam deals with our world? Why does the Torah have to tell us this? Of course it's obvious that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Ein Emunah Ve'Ein Avel. You think somebody paid Him off? Why does the Torah have to say this? There's an amazing insight into this pasuk that all the Balei Musar share. I think it originated with Rabbi Yisrael Salanter. I assume he said it first, but you find it trickle down after his time. Rabbi Yelapian writes it, and the Chafetz Chaim, and the Eretz Tzvi, the Kasher Glover Gon, all write the same idea, and that is the following. Lo kimidas HaKadosh Baruch Hu midas basar v'dam. There is a marked distinction between the way that a human being carries out judgment and the way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does. You see, when we have somebody who may have committed a crime, and they stand before a judge, and they look through the details of the case, and they try to dissect and figure out what happened or what didn't happen, whether this person is really supposed to be disciplined, whether they should be punished. So you look through the evidence of the case, and you have lawyers, and you have legal teams, and you figure it out. And in the end, if the evidence makes it clear that this person has done what we think they did, and they are deserving of some kind of punishment, that's what they're going to get. And we're going to look how the legal system expects us to punish such a person who may have done this crime. We don't think, we don't take into account, oh, Nebuch, he has a wife at home. If he goes to jail for the next 20 years, what's going to be with his wife? What are we going to do if this person gets the death penalty, which they deserve? Nebuch, he has little children at home. What's going to be? We don't think about that. You deserve it. Look what you've done. You've destroyed someone's world. You've destroyed a life. We don't think about all the collateral damage, all the indirect harm that's going to come from whatever punishment we give this person. If they deserve it based on the rules, based on whatever it is that they may have done, that's what they're going to get. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not that way. The Ribono Shel Olam, the pasuk says, is Hatzur Tamim Pa'alo Ki Chol Derachav Mishpat. Every mishpat that HaKadosh Baruch Hu passes down onto the world is just. Every ounce of pain that comes as a collateral damage to somebody who's suffering, it is not only that that person had a gzeira min hashamayim, that whatever reason they should be sick, whatever reason they should lose their lives, we have no understanding of that. The gzeira min hashamayim is on every single person that is harmed as a result of that gzeira. All of that means the Ribono Shel Olam's mishpat is tzadik v'yashar hu. That's what it means. It's with accuracy and precision. And all the misery and all the discomfort and all the agony that comes about as a result of whatever tragedy it may have been was meticulously decided by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that all of that is supposed to be. All of that was examined beforehand. All of that was considered. So say, for example, there was a gzeirah on Reuven, a certain individual, anonymously. Reuven had a gzeirah that they were supposed to get cancer this year, and they were supposed to die from the cancer, Rachmana Litzlan. But Reuven has a best friend, Shimon, who's going to be so distraught if that happens. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, it's not fair for me to do that to Reuven because Shimon doesn't deserve it. Because the gzeirah cannot carry out to Shimon, it's unfair. That's part of the mishpah, that's the accuracy of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's judgment. And every time HaKadosh Baruch Hu does anything in the world, He takes all of us, He takes everybody into consideration. All participating parties, everybody who may have been affected was taken into account in advance. When I thought about that comment, and you try to plug that into our situation, you know what that means? That means that every single Jew who's suffering, every single one of us, was part of the gzeira min hashamayim. This was not a gzeira on this family or that one. This was a gzeira min hashamayim that every single person here who may have cried, that every person who's continuing to be up at nights because you're terrified from what happened, because it's horrific to think about the set of circumstances that just befell the Jewish people. Every single person was part of that gzeira min hashamayim. And if one of us was deserving, and if one of us was in a position where our Kadosh Baruch Hu would have said, you know, this is too much pain for that individual, it would not have happened. It simply would not have happened. But yet our Kadosh Baruch Hu decided that a gzeira against all of us was appropriate. All of that was measured in advance. It's nora v'ayom. It's terrifying when you think about it in those terms. Ki chol derachav mishpat. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, all those who are in pain are supposed to be in pain. That's a terrifying gzeira. That's not a gzeira on one family, on one person, on one community, on one mishpacha. That's a gzeira on all the Jewish people all over the world. That's an unbelievable thought. It's nora v'ayom. Rav Henkin writes in one of his tshuvas, he wonders, why is it that our immediate response, our immediate reaction, every time there's a tragedy, is that we recite Kaddish. Sfaradim, Ashkenazim, everybody recites Kaddish. Why do we recite Kaddish? What's so unique about Kaddish? There are so many parts of the davening that are so beautiful, that are so meaningful. Why do we recite Kaddish in particular? And Rav Henkin suggests, he thinks there are two reasons. Number one, he says, at least in Nusach Svard, they add a beautiful line to the Kaddish where they say, V'yatzmach perkanei v'karev mashichei. We're suffering a terrible loss. And we affirm, we declare to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that we hope there will be a time when we'll have the Mashiach. And we hope there will be a Tchiyas HaMesim. That's part of the way we have hope through a tragedy. That we talk and we yearn about the coming of Mashiach and the Geula. V'yatzmach perkanei v'karev mashichei. But more importantly, he says, what is Kaddish all about? Why do we recite Kaddish? Because we say a line in the Kaddish which really sums it all up. And that is, we say that we live in a world bi'alma di bira kiruuse. Those are Aramaic words which mean we live in a world that runs based on your discretion. And in Kaddish, we humbly submit ourselves. And we sincerely and faithfully say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that we recognize and we acknowledge that we live in a world that is based solely on your wishes. That we live in a world that runs based on your judgment. Be'alma di bira kiruuse. And we don't understand it. But that's what we say after a tragedy. We submit ourselves to the fact that the Ribbono Shel Olam runs our world. Reb Shimon ben Yochai did not kill anyone this week. The Ribbono Shel Olam did. He let down a gzeira min hashamayim, not on 45 families, but on all of Klal Yisrael. And any person who had pain, Kichal Derachav Mishpat, remember that HaKadosh Baruch Hu took you into account as well when He made this Gzeirah. He knew you were going to cry. He knew you would be hurt. He knew you would suffer. But that was part of the Cheshbon. That was all taken into the equation beforehand. And the Ribbono Shel Olam still thought that this was worthy. The Ribbono Shel Olam still thought that this is the right thing to do. The Chasam Sofer comments on an amazing conversation that took place between Moshe Rabbeinu and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, where Moshe Rabbeinu asks, Hodieni Nadir Achecha. He wants to have an insight. He wants to have an understanding into the ways of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the Ribbono Shel Olam responds some kind of cryptic answer. Biraisa Sachora Yufanai Lo Yirou. You'll see my back. I'm not going to let you see my face. What does it mean? The Gemara says that Moshe Rabbeinu was allowed to hide in the cleft of a rock. And after HaKadosh Baruch Hu passed, He gave him an image of what the Ribbono Shel Olam looks like from the back. I don't really understand what it means. But the Chasam Sofer says perhaps what it means is that the Ribbono Shel Olam was being asked. Moshe Rabbeinu also had many difficult questions in his life, just like we all do. Moshe Rabbeinu asked the Ribbono Shel Olam these questions. Hodieni na derachecha. Does it make sense? 45 people just lost their lives. Does it make sense? So many of these were innocent children. What could they possibly have done in their lives to deserve this? Doesn't make sense. Of course it doesn't make sense. To us. And Moshe Rabbeinu begs HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hodieni na derachecha. I'm asking sincerely. I want to appreciate and understand what the Gzeira Min HaShamayim is all about. Why do things like this happen? And HaKadosh Baruch Hu responds, Biraisa Sachorai Ufanai Lo Yiro. You'll understand many of these circumstances in retrospect, in hindsight. Ufanai Lo Yiro, when you're looking at it as it's unfolding, as it's happening, you will have no way of understanding it because it doesn't make sense to you. It's so beyond. Like the Navi says, Kigavu Shamayim E'aretz. The same chasm, the same amount of space as there is between heaven and earth, which is enormous. That is the same amount of distance that there is between the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu thinks and the way that we think and we understand. We don't have an understanding. But the Chasam Sofer writes that that's what Moshe Rabbeinu was told. Viraisa Sachorai Ufanai Lo Yiro. In retrospect, it will make sense to you. In hindsight, you'll understand it all. But Ufanai Lo Yiro, as you're experiencing it, as you're watching it unfold, you cannot make sense of it. There is nothing to say. It's a powerful mashal of the Chafetz Chaim. It's so compelling. Chafetz Chaim writes an amazing story about a Jew who was on a business trip. And he was going in a different communities, and unfortunately he got stuck for Shabbos. He wasn't able to make it home. And the Chafetz Chaim writes how he goes to the local shul and people offer to put him up for Shabbos. Sitting in the back of shul, minding his own business. And after davening Shabbos morning, the gabbai walks over to him and he says, are you all taken care of? You have everything you need? He says, yes. And he asks him, so how did you enjoy? He says, the davening here was lovely. Everything was really great. I enjoyed it very much. But I just have one question. I was watching, and there's something that made me feel very uncomfortable, something very strange. You know, I noticed as you were giving out the aliyos, for the first aliyah, you went all the way to the back of the shul, three seats in, you gave somebody the aliyah. Came to the second aliyah, you ran across to the other side of the shul, all the way in the front, the second row. Every aliyah, you're running around the shul. I have a great idea. I'm going to come up with a better system that's going to make this much easier. We're going to streamline the process. The first week, you should give the seven aliyahs to the first seven people sitting in the front of the shul. The next week, you'll move a row back. And we'll go a rotation. You go around. This way, we'll keep it organized. You'll write down where we're up to. That would be much simpler. You wouldn't have to run around the whole davening and worry, and you're pulling out the cards. We can organize. We can really figure this out. The Gabe starts to chuckle and he says, I'm just curious, how long have you been here in our shul? He says, tell you the truth, it's my first time here. I got stuck over Shabbos. I was never here before. He says, you're never here before and you think you're going to figure out the system? Do you know, this person has yahrzeit. That one in the back just made a sheva brachos for his daughter yesterday. So we're giving him an aliyah. This one's celebrating his 50th anniversary of his bar mitzvah. So we gave him an aliyah, and it's that one's birthday. And this one's grandmother needs a refuah shleima, so we're giving him an aliyah. We have a system here. There's a reason why we do things the way we do. You stick around for 5-6 years, you'll understand the rhythm and how we do things here. And the Chafetz Chaim writes, so often in our lives, we turn to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and we say, you know, why do you do things this way? It doesn't really make sense. You have a family, how often do we see this? A happy family, everybody's doing very well, and suddenly tragedy strikes, and it spirals the whole family out of control, and things never get back to normal. Sometimes they do, but sometimes they don't. Why do you have to do that? Why don't you take the dysfunctional families that are already dysfunctional and make them a little bit more dysfunctional? They figured out how to live dysfunctional lives. So, if they figured out how to live like that, just continue on. Make their children sick. You know, we have a family who figured out how to live a rich lifestyle, and we have plenty of families who have figured out how to live a lifestyle without money. Why do you have to take the money from the rich person who got used to living a certain way their whole life, and suddenly you need to come out of nowhere, a Madoff scandal, and you got to make them lose everything they had? They don't even know how to live. They've never lived this way before. They don't know how to downsize, they don't know how to cut back, they don't know how to do anything. Why not take the poor person and take a little bit of their money away? They already know how to live a poor lifestyle. Why do you have to do this? A healthy family has to become sick. A rich family becomes poor. What are you running around the shul like this? Why are you picking and choosing? Just let things be. And the Ribbono Shel Olam turns to us and he says, can I ask, how long have you been around the world? I've been here a few thousand years, so I kind of know the rhythm of how this works. Stick around for another few thousand years and maybe you'll begin to understand why it is that we do things the way we do. But until then, I'll keep going about being the Gabbai. I'll figure out what needs to be done, when it needs to be done, how it should be done, and why we do things the way we do. And you just sit back and enjoy the fact that you are a guest here in our shul for the week. That's the compelling mashal of the Chafetz Chaim, and I've referenced it so many times, and I feel it never gets old, because it's relevant every day of our lives. It's relevant and important for a perspective every single day of our lives. As I was davening on Shabbos morning, I was struck and almost blinded by a word that gets our tefillah started each and every day in the beginning of the Siddur. We say this word over and over again, and that is the word Ma, Mem He. We start off in the very beginning of Psukei Dezimra. I'm sorry, the very beginning of Karbanos. Ma Anu Mechayenu. We turn to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and we say, what are our lives all about? What merit do we have? Matzid Kenu, what, you think you're such a tzaddik, a tzaddikis, you think you're so great? We stand in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and we say, I know that I'm not so great. Ma Yeshua Seinu, Ma Kochenu, Ma Gvura Seinu, I think I'm so powerful, not so powerful. And we say over and over again, we submit to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ma this and Ma that, and it jumped out at me from the page. Ma is the numerical value of 45. And I was thinking, it's 45 pure, wholesome, and innocent neshamos. 45 individuals who so quickly became our brothers. 45 icons who have led us to repeatedly ask ourselves this question of Ma. What is this? Ma kochenu, ma gvuraseinu, we think we're so strong. Ma nomar lefanecha Hashem Elokeinu v'Elokei Avoseinu. Is there anybody here who has words for our Kadosh Baruch Hu? Is there anybody here who thinks they understand any of this? We're shocked, we're horrified by all that happened. And then I thought, you know, here we are, we think we're so brilliant, And we're so smart, and Israel is so savvy, and they're so intelligent, and we're the first nation who beat the coronavirus, and we opened up first, and we vaccinated a whole nation, and we're finally safe and secure to have, once again, a large public gathering, and everybody gets together for such a great celebration. And the next words in the davening are, after all these ma'az, Halokol ha-giborim ka'ayin lefanecha, va'adshei ha-shem kelo hayu, v'chachamim kivlim adah, take all your brains and realize it's worth nothing. It's worth nothing. Unavonim kivli askel, all the geniuses, all the people who plan, and all the people who are such brilliant scientists, and we are the smartest nation, and yes, we got it all figured out, and we're going to open up, and we're going to do it, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Hakol havel, it's all nothing. All your brains amount to nothing, because I run the world. Because I, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, am the one who will decide what happens. And suddenly the Ribbono Shel Olam comes and says, everything you thought was important, everything you thought was relevant, becomes completely irrelevant. Because the Ribbono Shel Olam decided it should be otherwise. And in 1 minute, we are brought from a tremendous sense of simcha and relief. Look how beautiful it is that Jews can celebrate once again and open up. And the Ribbono Shel Olam takes us back into reality. And he says, don't forget, Halokol ha-giborim ke'ayin lefanecha, all your hubris, all your brilliance, all of your plans are worth nothing if HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't agree that that's what should happen. It's not Reb Shimon ben Yochai who does this, it's the Ribbono Shel Olam who decides to make a gzeira min ha-shamayim. And he throws us into an intense communal feeling of introspection and of healing. So there's a Gemara Maseches Erevin that I've been playing in my mind the last couple of days. The Gemara has a very curious statement, a very strange remark. The Gemara says that Shmuel turns to his friend Rabbi Yehuda and he says, Hai Alma, our world is Kibehi Lula Damya. Our world is like a gala celebration. It's like a wedding. Chatov ve'echol, take advantage and extract whatever you can from the world. This is like a wedding. Enjoy it. So what does that mean? This world is one big party? It's not true. The world is not always a party. I don't feel like I'm at a wedding right now. I feel like I'm at a shiva house. So what does it mean? Hay alma kebehi lula damya. So we're going to focus on three interpretations of this cryptic comment, this cryptic statement of Chazal. The Rishonim say, perhaps what it means is, you know, we spend, for anybody here who's made a wedding before, as a family, we spend a considerable amount of time and effort and energy to put together all the details of a wedding. And we get the gowns made, and we get all the makeup artists, and we have to book it in advance, and we have to make sure that the band is scheduled, and the caterer, and back and forth with the menus. So much time, and all the sleepless nights, and all the fighting back and forth, and this is right, and that's not too much money, too little money. Everybody has all their considerations. All of that goes into this beautiful simcha that we do. And then what happens? How long is the actual celebration? 5 hours. A long wedding, 6 hours. A very long wedding, 7 hours. A Hasidish wedding, 10 hours. Whatever it is, how long could it be already? You spent so many months. Imagine, this is why we should have short engagements. Just less agita. You have a long engagement, so they go and they make themselves crazy for longer. So the Rishonim say, imagine, you put so much effort into this one gala celebration, and it all comes out beautifully, and before you know it, the night is over. You turn around and it's done. It's a good thing we have pictures and videos. We wouldn't even remember it so quick. And the Rishonim say, you know, we put so much investment into the lives that we live and we build houses and we're so busy and figuring out and everything we need, all the comforts, all the luxuries. And just remember, life is not that long. You're not going to be here forever. So with all of the arrangements that you make, Chatov ve'achol, take advantage. Once you get to the wedding, at least take advantage of where you are. Don't sit there and be crazy about all the problems that you had coming into this. At least enjoy the moment that you're there. Stop looking at how the flowers came out. Stop worrying that maybe there's a stain on the carpet and there aren't enough chairs exactly where you wanted them to be. All of these details are irrelevant. The wedding's going to be over by the time you finally figure out how to get all this out of your head, and you're going to miss the whole experience. The Rishonim say, that's what the Gemara means. We're here in the world, but it's temporal, it's short-lived, it's fleeting. Chatov ve'echol, take advantage of life. A second interpretation, Rav Asher Weiss told me, when I took the job here in the Young Israel, so he called me at the time to wish Mazel Tov, and we were discussing different things about what it means to live a life of community service. And he said, Shai, you know, especially in your situation, you're going to a big community. You're going to have a lot of responsibilities to the people in the community. It's going to take a lot of your time. And you're going to be celebrating their simchas. And you're going to be, unfortunately, participating in other life cycle events as well. But I want you to remember one thing. He said, did you ever go to a Hasidic Shachasana? I said, yes. So he said, people start showing up 2-3 o'clock in the afternoon, the brothers, the sisters, the parents. And then as the afternoon, evening moves on, people start coming and the guests assemble, everyone's there. As the night goes on, everyone's dancing, everyone's celebrating, more people come. Then people start to leave. And then at 3 o'clock in the morning, in the middle of the mitzvah tanz, you look around and you ask yourself, who's still here? Who's still here at 3 o'clock in the morning? And you look around and you see, it's only the closest family members who are still there. And he said, just remember, with all that you're going to do, and with all the people you're going to interact with, just remember the greatest asset in your life is your own family. Because at 3 o'clock in the morning, when you need them, they're the only ones who are going to be there. And family is the most essential tool. It's the most valuable and central asset that we all have. It's the most important thing for us to take advantage of. So with everything that we do, the Gemara says, Hay alma kibehi lula damya. This world is like a wedding. And there's a lot of distraction. And a lot of healthy distraction. And a lot of it is great. And we invest of ourselves. And we get involved in projects. And we do different things. But don't forget, with all that distraction, and with all the things that we do, don't forget this world is like a wedding. And at 3 o'clock in the morning, the only people who will be there for you are your family. Don't ever take that gift for granted. Don't think that comes by itself. Those relationships need to be nurtured. Those need to be developed. Those need to be thought about every day of our lives. And finally, one of the Talmidim of the Baal Shem Tov has an amazing insight into this concept that the Gemara shares. What does it mean that this world is like a wedding? It says, you know, you go to a wedding, and there's so much that went into it. And there are so many aspects, so many facets of the celebration. So you come into the first room and you see all kinds of guests who are participating. And you look in front of you and you see all the food that's laid out in a lavish cuisine and it's amazing. And if you like to drink, so there's an assortment of beverages for you. And you go from one room into the next room. And then you see not one crew of photographers, you see two or three making sure to get every moment of the celebration. And then you see the flowers and the intricate details of the centerpieces. And you see a multi-piece symphony orchestra and a singer. And it's beautiful and it's great and it's so exciting. However, what happens if we come under the chuppah? And as the chassan and kala are standing there, the chassan simply refuses to say hare at mikudeshesli to the kala. What happens then? I happen to have attended a wedding this year, where it was an outdoor wedding because of the circumstances, very poorly lit because it was not made for this kind of gathering. It was in somebody's backyard. And the chassan said, Hareyat Mekudeshesli. I was one of the Eidei Kiddushin. And he dropped the ring. And it bounced off the caller's gown straight into the woods. And I'm there. I was the only person under a certain age, under the chuppah. So it was easier for me to get on my hands and knees. Let's just say. So there I was on my hands and knees looking for this ring, nowhere to be found. And it was so awkward. All the guests were just standing there like, what in the world is going on here? Why is the chassan and the rabbi on their hands and knees when we're in the middle of a chuppah? Why are the kala's mother and mother-in-law taking their shoes off and walking around barefoot to try to find something? What's going on? This was the strangest thing I've ever seen. I didn't know what to make of it, but I was reminded of this vart. Imagine you come to a wedding and everything's there and all is set and the band is there and the food is there and the guests have all arrived and everyone's excited. And the chassan walks out and he says, nah, I'm not prepared to go ahead with this. Harei amikudeshesli is just not going to happen tonight. All of a sudden, this very exciting celebration becomes very unpleasant for everybody. All of a sudden, it becomes very awkward and uncomfortable. And the Talmidei HaBaal Shem Tov write, the Ribono Shel Olam gave us such a beautiful world, so much to enjoy, so much to take advantage of, and He wants us to. The first mitzvah in the Torah, if I would ask any of you, what is the first mitzvah in the Torah? Anybody know? Not Peruvu. What? Chodesh Alechem. No. Try again. It's not a trick question. First paragraph in Chumash. What is the first mitzvah in the Torah? Nobody knows. What is the first commandment that was said to a human being? Who was the first human being? Let's start from the beginning. I remember when we used to learn with my father, and we had no idea what he was talking about at some times. You know, we were like 5 years old. He would like learn something with us, and he was surprised what we weren't following. So he would ask us, do you understand what I'm saying? And normally we didn't have the guts to say no. So we just shook our head. And he realized we didn't know what he was talking about. So he said, okay, let's start from the beginning. There is a God in the world. There's a Ribono Shel Olam. And he gave the Jewish people the Torah. And there were Aseres HaDibros. And then he gave us a lot more. And he used to go from there. And then, 20 minutes later, he's like, and now we're up to this Mishnah. Now you're with me? So, let's get ourselves back. Who was the first human being? Adam HaRishon. What was the first thing HaKadosh Baruch Hu requested of Adam HaRishon? It's not a trick. We all went to kindergarten. Not to eat from the Eitz Hadas, right? Wrong. That's what everybody thinks. Look back in the Pasuk when you get home and you'll see. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, before he says that, ask Adam HaRishon, Mikol Eitz Hagan Achol Tochel. I want you to enjoy the world. I made a beautiful world and it's all here for you. The addendum is, please don't eat from that one tree. But the first thing he says, right, the Meshech Chachma is, enjoy my world. That's what it's here for. I put this beautiful world and I put you in it in order that you should be able to enjoy and appreciate the gift of what life is all about. And we enjoy it, and we do, and we take advantage, and we should. That's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to do. If He gave us money, there's a reason He gave it to us. He wants us to enjoy it. If He gave us the opportunity to have the luxuries that we have in our lives, it's because He wants us to have them. That's not an accident. He wants us to enjoy this world properly. However, the Talmidei HaBaal Shem Tov write, imagine you live a whole life and this great celebration and all these wonderful gifts and all this blessing that showered upon us. And at no point during the wedding do we turn around and say, Harei ad mekudeshesli to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We're here in the world as part of a much larger context. It's to have a relationship with the Ribono Shel Olam. It's to connect with Him. And if at no point in our lives does it dawn upon us to say, Harei ad mekudeshesli, turn around to the Kala, turn around to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and say, I want to be intimately engaged with you. I want to be married to you. I want to connect with you. I want to understand what it means to be close with you. Then what good is all the celebration? Then what good is all the blessing and gifts that we have in our lives? Where does it land us? Suddenly the whole celebration becomes very uncomfortable. So I thought about these three interpretations in that Gemara. When the Gemara says our life is like one big Behilula, it's like one big Chasana. What does that mean? Number one, it means, like the Rishonim say, life is too short. Life is too fickle. It's too unpredictable. It's too fleeting. I want to ask you, did any of those people who went on Thursday evening ever believe in their wildest dreams that this would be the last thing they would do in their lives? Anybody? You know, my sister is a Rebbetzin of a community in Teaneck. And one of the families that lost a child is very close with her. Dom is in her shul. So on Thursday night, she called me at 11 o'clock and said, "Shai, we really need help. This boy is missing." I wasn't really sure how I was supposed to help. What should I do? Happened to be such hashkacha pratis. Happened to be in a car with somebody who has connections to so many people. And I mentioned to him what was going on. And immediately he called his contacts in Eretz Yisrael. He woke up Dani Dayan in the middle of the night. He woke up Dan Shapiro in the middle of the night. And he woke up the head of the foreign ministry. He called all three of them from the car. All of them began to cry. And all of them took the information. Dani Dayan called us back. We were up the whole night, Thursday night, with my sister and this family. Nobody had the wildest imagination that he actually died. Didn't dawn upon anyone that was going to be the outcome. And about an hour later, Dani Dayan called us back and he said, "Just want you to know, I personally spent the last hour calling every single hospital in the state of Israel. This kid is not here." And he asked me to please call back the family and let them know that this kid is not in a hospital. I said, "I can't call them back and say he's not in a hospital. Give me an update that I can say. I can tell them. I can tell them that." So he said to me, "You know, maybe we just have to post it on Twitter. This way people will see. If they see him anywhere, they'll know that he's the person who's missing." So he asked me to ask permission from the family for him to post it online. I asked them. They said, "Of course, if we think someone's going to find him easier that way, then he should." And he did, and within 5 minutes it was picked up by all the newspapers because he's a prominent person. And everyone started to talk, "This kid is missing, what are we going to do?" And things snowballed, everyone was trying to look for him. 5 minutes later he called me back and he said, "Maybe I should post a picture of him. This way if people see him, they'll know who we're looking for." So I asked the parents, "Can you send me a picture of the kid?" So they send me a picture of him in Meiron. Did you see that picture? This kid took a picture of himself in Meiron with everybody in the background. I don't know how much before that was, but I'm looking at this and I broke down. I said, "I can't believe this. Would this kid ever imagine in his wildest dreams, would these parents ever believe when they're getting that picture from their son that it's the last picture in the world they'll ever have of him? Who would think about that?" Hay alma kebe ilula damya. Life is too fleeting. And we need to take advantage of this extraordinary gift and opportunity that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us of living in His world. Number two, Hay alma kebe ilula damya. Family is our greatest asset. Family is our greatest commodity. Being a part of a nuclear family, and more generally, being a part of the greater family and unit of Klal Yisrael, is the greatest gift from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I think about it. We hear about stampedes that happen in Mecca. Things like this happen at sporting events. I want to know, when it happens in Mecca, do Muslims all over the world feel the sense of avelos that all of us felt and continue to feel this week? I think we all know the answer to that question. And I think we understand that this is such a gift from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And this makes us appreciate that gift. And it means we need to take advantage of the gift of the family that we are. We need to appreciate and recognize how blessed we are. My sister told me the amount. I went the other night to visit my sister on Sunday night. You know, I sometimes feel people in community service, nobody appreciates what they're going through. You know, the whole community is calling us, asking for chizuk. I have no chizuk to give. I'm just as distraught and just as broken as everybody else is. I have nothing to say. And I'm trying to figure out how to process this the same way everybody else is. My sister's whole community is grieving, and she hasn't stopped crying. She had to be there with the family when they were informed of what happened. And she's been there with them since, continuously. She had to help them write hespedim for their child. Who does that? So we felt it was appropriate. I went with my wife the other night to visit my sister just to give her some chizuk. And she was telling us and showing us in a WhatsApp group that they created in their community, a small group of people who were making all the arrangements that needed to be done. She said, "Shai, you have no idea how much people are willing to do for each other. Everything, without being asked. Everything. Every single thing." I mean, what she described is unbelievable. That somebody thought like this. Just one example. Somebody thought to go and order, when this family flew to Eretz Yisrael for the Levaya on Matzah Shabbos, one of the community members said, "You know, there's going to be a lot of people who are going to come into the house for Shiva. House is going to get destroyed." So somebody went out and ordered industrial carpet and put it down on the whole first floor of the house so that the parents won't have to have that headache while they're sitting Shiva for their kid. Who thinks like this? Who thinks like that? We're an amazing people. Family is our greatest asset. Hay alma kebei lula damia. Don't forget that at 3 o'clock in the morning, should a Jew ever have a need, their family will be there for them. And we need to invest in our families. And we need to appreciate what family means. And finally, hay alma kebei lula damia. It's time for us to wake up and decisively affirm to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Harei at mikudesh asli. We are privileged and blessed to be here in your world. We are so lucky to be living and not to have the tragic circumstances that so many other people have just gone through. And as a result, we turn around and we put life back into perspective. And we say to the Ribbono Shel Olam, we sincerely yearn to engage again with you intimately in a real way. We want to saturate ourselves in your loving embrace and your warm, loving hand that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives out to us all the time. And we are prepared to live lives that reflect that kind of sincere commitment. If we don't say that, if we don't say Hareyat Mekudesh Asli, then we've lost everything that our lives are all about. Like we said before, Hatzur Tamim Pa'alo Ki Chal D'Rachav Mishpat. HaKadosh Baruch Hu had not these 45 families in mind when he made this Gzeira Ra'a Min HaShamayim. He had every single one of us in mind. The Ribbono Shel Olam thought about all of us. And he still thought this was worthy of being done in his world, for whatever reason. But all of us were part of that Gzeira, and that means all of us need to think about what the Gzeira means. All of us need to take something away from what this Gzeira meant to all of us. Rabbi Yisrael Salanter has an amazing comment, and with this we'll close. He says, the Navi tells us, Hine ze omeid achar kaslenu, mashgiach min hachalonos meitzitz min hacharakim. It's a pasuk in Shir HaShirim, where we talk about the love that exists between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the Jewish people. And it's the love of a husband and a wife. It's the deepest love one can ever imagine. And we describe how HaKadosh Baruch Hu looks out of a window and looks at his beautiful children, the Jewish people. But Rabbi Yisrael Salanter asks, what is the difference, mashgiach min hachalonos, mitzitz min hacharakim? What's the difference between a chalon, between a window, and charakim? Charakim means a crack. What's the difference? And he explains, a chalon is transparent. I look out the window, whoever's outside can see me, and I can see them. They know that I'm watching them. And I know that I'm being watched. A charak means when you have a kid who goes out into the bus and they want to feel independent, and you as a parent are terrified, but you don't want to take away the child's feeling of independence, so you look through the peephole because you want to make sure that everything goes well. It doesn't mean that I'm not watching my child. The child turns around to make sure nobody's watching. They don't see me, but I'm still watching. I'm not watching through a window. I'm watching through a little crack in the door, Meitzitz min ha-charakim. Rabbi Yisrael Salanter writes, this is the experience of our lives. There are times when our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu is like looking through a window. It's so apparent, it's so clear that He's watching over us. We see Him, He sees us. We smile at Him, He smiles back. Those are very joyous and happy times in our lives. And unfortunately, there are moments in our lives when we feel the Ribono Shel Olam is not here. How can the Ribono Shel Olam allow this to happen? The world is upside down. Things are just imploding. How can this be? But we need to remember at those moments as well, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Meitzitz min ha-charakim. There is a little crack in the door. There is that little aperture. And the Ribono Shel Olam is always watching. Achar kasleinu. The Ribono Shel Olam is always looking. Some of the times we turn around and we see Him. At other times we turn around and it looks like He's not there. We can't see. We just see a door or a wall in front of us. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu assures us, even at those moments, He is still Meitzitz min ha-charakim. He's still looking because He cares. And a parent who cares never stops watching. A parent who is interested in the success of their children will never stop worrying. And that is our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, even at times that are as painful and difficult and tragic as the one we are living through now. We ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Macha Hashem Elokim Dima Me'al Kol Panim V'Cherpas Amo Yasur Me'al Kol Ha'aretz. We ask that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will bring an end to all of this horrific suffering, so many layers of it. And we hope, B'Nachamas Tzion Yerushalayim Tinuchamu. We hope that we will all have a Nachama, because we all need a Nachama. We hope that the Nachama of Tzion and Yerushalayim will be one that will grant all of us a Nachama. Ubila Hamavas LaNetzach, Amir Tzoshem. Next week, we will meet again. Hope we'll talk about happier things. Hopefully we'll have an uneventful week. But Amir Tzoshem, we look forward to sharing Divrei Torah again next week.